Okay, great. All right, so this is basically going to be a repeat, not exactly a repeat, but at least mostly a repeat of the share I gave last night for women. I guess the only difference might be what the questions are, meaning the questions, the nature of the questions may be slightly different from last night and for tonight. We'll see how accurate that is, how different they are.
Can I pop my eyebrows?
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Nobody asked that last night. Mm-hmm. They asked about other kinds of similar things, but not that one. Okay. So basically, let's just start by saying that we know that we're in the period of time called the 3 weeks, Kol Rodfei Hisigua Bein HaMitzarim. It's definitely a time which is associated with the Churban Beis Hamikdash and a little bit of mourning. The time, of course, starts from Shivasar B'Tamuz. The level of severity in terms of the restrictions, as we know, is less severe during the 3 weeks than it is during the 9 days. The 9 days is sort of we step up a level, meaning it's the reverse of regular Avelis. Regular Avelis, somebody dies, so the very first time right before the funeral is Aninus. Okay, that's very, very severe. And then the first week of Shiva, obviously, is also very severe in a different way in terms of the restrictions because it's the closest time to when the person passed away. But then after you pass Shiva, so then the Shloshim is a level down. And then if it's your parents, so then you have a whole year. But the year is even a lower level than the 30 days. So when it comes to the 9 days and Tisha B'Av, it's actually in reverse, as we know. The 3 weeks is the beginning of some of the chumras, and then the 9 days is the next level up, and then Tisha B'Av is the closest level to Shiva. It may not be exactly the same, but it's pretty close. Okay, most of what we do on Tisha B'Av is very, very close to what we observe on Shiva. So that being said, we're going to go starting from the 3 weeks, and then we'll do whatever we can get to for the 9 days. Tonight, we're not going to talk about Tisha B'Av at all. Okay, we'll see if I get invited back. Maybe Rav Daniel will give a shiur on Tisha B'Av. We'll see. We'll figure out what to do about that. Hopefully, if not on Thursday night, we'll have a different shiur at some point on Tisha B'Av for those who are interested. This year, also, by the way, it's on Motzei Shabbos again, so we have some of the interesting halachic issues that come up specifically when Tisha B'Av falls out on Motzei Shabbos and Sunday, which it also did last year, by the way. But the issues come up again. It's worthwhile to discuss them as well. At the very end, if you're willing to stick around for 5 minutes at the end, we'll just give a little bit of machshava when it comes to just understanding the significance of the 3 weeks and the 9 days and why this is important and what we're supposed to be feeling and how we view the halachic system and what we're missing and a little bit like that. But let's try to do as much of the halacha as we can get to first. Okay. So the main customs that are relevant when it comes to the 3 weeks, anybody remember what they are? I'm assuming by now you probably know them already.
Haircut.
Okay. What else? Music, good. Anybody else?
Later on, meeting wine.
That's already 9 days. 3 weeks.
No weddings.
No weddings. Okay. Good. So those are really the main. Those are the main three for our purposes. There's one or two more that we forgot.
I'm gonna say I'll never forget. More of a.
Okay, that's not specifically mentioned, but that could be an idea. That's a nice time to be more makbid at saying Al Naros Babel before Birkas HaMazon because it deals with being in exile, certainly during the 9 days. But again, it's not a halacha thing. The whole thing, to begin with, about saying Al Naros Babel is only a minug. Okay, I think the source of it is the Shalah, who's the one who brings that down. It's in the Mishnah Berurah also, but it's not an obligation. It's a nice custom. Okay. Let's go through the three weeks elements one by one. Okay, first, we have no weddings. And this is the most obvious one. One of the earliest ones, and the one that's probably the least relevant for most of us here, I think. Well, not yet. Okay. That's the custom for Ashkenazim. Okay, Sfaradim are not makbid on having weddings during the 3 weeks. However, in Eretz Yisrael, I think here in general, Sfaradim also, the Rabbanut generally doesn't do weddings during the 3 weeks, from what I understand. Denachon? Mashani Zocher.
So you have something with Rav Avadya Yosef.
Yeah, so
they talk about it, there's
discussion about it, but strictly speaking, it seems like Smeker and Sfaradim probably could get married during the 3 weeks. They want to even discuss in some cases, maybe even during the 9 days, you can get married at some point. But again, bottom line is that the Minog, at least here in Eretz Yisrael, that it's not done in most places. In Chutz Laaretz, I think they do sometimes have weddings during the 3 weeks, which again, halachically, it seems to be mutter for Sfaradim. But for Ashkenazim, it's not done. Engagement parties, even an engagement suuda, tnaim, anything like that, those are permissible. Okay, those you would be allowed to do. Nachon, la'arit, there is a mutar. Hasuda b'tisha b'av, nachon. Okay. So that's perfectly fine. The only thing that you wouldn't be allowed to do for that is to have, music or dancing. Okay, dancing music we'll get to shortly in a couple minutes. But the actual engagement and even the suuda would be permissible during the 3 weeks. Okay. Next, in terms of haircuts, so So haircuts, the story is like this. Again, the Ramah says the minhag, at least for Ashkenazim, is to be machmir on haircutting and shaving during the 3 weeks. So again, it's only mentioned in the Ramah, but generally for Ashkenazim, we're machmir about this. What that means practically is that, again, haircuts should be done, obviously, before the 3 weeks. Was that right? Too late, yeah, I'm sorry, we didn't get the show last week. Yeah. Okay, the 9 days, at least, we can get in the stuff before the Rosh Chodesh, right? The 3 weeks here is too late. Basically, a couple of the exceptions, which are not so practical for most of us here, but there is an exception made for, at least for women, maybe for going on dates and other similar situations, maybe if getting a haircut makes a difference. There are some posts that want to see maybe that's permissible. When it comes to children, so the minhag for children is generally that children also should not get haircuts during the 3 weeks. And it's based on a halacha within the 9 days. And for the 9 days, the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah talk about the idea that children should not be given a haircut by an adult, even though the child himself may not be subject to the halacha, even if he's very young. But if the adult is giving the child the haircut, then it's still a problem. And if the child's giving it to himself or herself a haircut, then you might have other issues. I'm not sure if you want to do that either. So that, because that's true, that halacha is true for the 9 days or for Shavuot Shechalbo, that you can't have an adult give a child a haircut. So basically it's extended by most of the poskim for the 3 weeks as well. Meaning that during the 3 weeks as well, for Ashkenazim that are machmir, are not giving haircuts, children also should not get haircuts from adults during this time. Okay? And by the way, it's true also, I forgot where I saw this, but most of the poskim agree as well, that even a Sephardi who's makil and giving haircuts, such as maybe in our yeshiva where you have a Sephardi who's a barber, maybe two Sephardim who are barbers, so they probably should not be cutting Ashkenazi's hairs. And I think they don't. I think they probably won't do it. But for Ashkenazim that would wonder about it, so again, I don't remember who said this, but this seems to be the direction, that it's not just the barber that has a problem, it's also the person that's getting the haircut has a problem. So they cannot get somebody who's permissible, who he would be allowed to cut. You can't get him to cut your hair if the custom is for you to avoid. Okay.
If you live in a place where there's a non-Jewish barber?
So same problem, same issue. For kids, generally, it shouldn't be done. Again, if there's a particular reason why you need to, so they may be permissible. Because again, we're only dealing with the minhag, would you say?
Upshurn would be maybe okay to do by a boy.
I think upshurn may wait. Upshurn is nice to do, but it's not a good enough reason to be. I think they just wait till afterwards usually. So that's the story with this. Again, because it's a minhag, so it's not usher, but we try to avoid it. The one interesting and important example that I did find in the Nitzei Gavriel, familiar with that sefer, or Gavriel Zinner from Brooklyn, nice series of svarim. So he's got two svarim on the 3 weeks. And the 9 days, I found that his sefer, when I had this problem, I think in my own house, or maybe somebody else asked me about this a couple of years ago, with the kid got lice. And they wanted to know, it's much easier to get the lice out or to do the shampoo and the combing of the hair if they cut the hair first because the hair was long or whatever it was. So the Nitzei Gavriel says in that case, can you guess what he's going to say? I mean, I already gave it away, basically. But yes. Yes, he says it's permissible to cut hair in that situation. Why might that be? Take a guess.
Medicinal.
What is that?
Medicinal.
Exactly, right. Meaning the same way that on tissue.
Yeah, it's to get other people.
Right, okay, good. So both reasons. Meaning number one, it's potentially, it's, I don't know what the word, it's not contagious, but the point is it could be, what's the word? It definitely could, the lice could spread, right? So because it could spread, so we don't want to, ruin other people's hair.
And their health risks.
Right, health risks. Okay, good. So that's number one. And again, as we said before, because it's only a minhag, so there's room to be makil. And number two, together with that, is also the idea that even if it couldn't spread, even just for you, so the same way that on Tisha B'Av, washing your hands or other things like that to get dirt off or for medicinal purposes, generally mutter, and that's permitted in the Shulchan Aruch, so they sort of expand that rule and they say the same thing is true here also. Here we're only doing it the minhag, but certainly if it's medicinal or, for types of, something similar to refuah or cleanliness, hygienical, then it would be mutter. So that's a bottom line sock that hopefully you won't need to use, but if you need to use it, you're allowed to use it. Okay, good. In terms of shaving, so this one I did not discuss last night with the females, with the women. But in terms of shaving, so again, the minhag for Ashkenazim, generally speaking, is that shaving is avoided during the 3 weeks, that shaving and haircutting generally go together. Same idea, that cutting hair and shaving is considered to be to make you look a little bit more, I don't want to use the word minuval, but the point is that you don't look your best. And it's a nice reminder that this is a time that we're in Avelus, okay? And it's, just like your Bais Chodesh or whatever time period you would not shave during, during Avelus. Again, depending on how you work it out, but certainly during Shiva and during Shloshim, for sure. Your Bais Chodesh is a question of how that works. Generally today, we probably don't follow it, but whatever it is, the custom during the 3 weeks is to be Machmir. However, there are a couple possible exceptions. Number one, you're probably familiar with these already. There are poskim, including I think Moshe Feinstein and others, that allowed the makom hefsed, meaning if you go to work in a place where they'd be very, very upset at you if you don't shave, you don't look good, so then there may be room to be making all about that. Again, maybe in Israel it's a little bit, well, I guess it depends where you work here. In some places they probably don't care, and they probably are enough from people that they're familiar with and they don't mind. In places where it really makes a difference, though, and you really don't look good, and it's going to actually make a negative impression, so there's room to make ill about that. In addition to that, there's other kulas also. Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Soloveitchik also had different versions of a similar kula, which is basically that the whole idea of not shaving, the custom was at a time when people didn't shave every day. But today, when people shave every day, or every other day, or every third day, so to not shave for 3 weeks, that's already way beyond what the custom was originally, and that you really don't look good. So they felt, again, in different versions, that there would be more room to be makil. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik, I think, felt that you could shave a couple times a week based on this. I think Rav Lichtenstein held, I don't know if he held every other day, but he definitely held the Kavod Shabbos that it was mutter. Okay, so at least once a week on Friday, for sure, that's mutter. And there are other makoros also that would seem to imply that the Kavod Shabbos is also mutter. Nachon, azeh, ani lo zochem, Rav Lichtenstein gam hitzir et zeh, ani lo lamarti bagush. Ani lo yodeh, ani ra'iti, kilu, b'mekoroto, b'shirin, lo zocher, b'tishat ha'imim. Aber mash, ani ken yodeh, switch back to English, if you don't mind. I know you understand English, you're here already so many weeks. Rav Shechter from YU is mekil during the 9 days, okay? And based on, I think it's also based on Rav Soloveitchik. But basically what they say, there's actually an interesting maramakum in the Be'er Halacha, in Hilchos Tisha, in the Halachas of the 9 days. So the Be'er Halacha actually talks about haircuts. And he says, when it comes to haircuts, that the reason why we're not makil on Friday, or Thursday even, whatever it is, L'Kavod Shabbos, the reason we're not makil for haircuts, L'Kavod Shabbos, even though in the Mishnah and the Gemara, they do talk about the possibility of being makil on the Friday before Tisha B'Av, or whatever it is, possible, or Thursday even, being makil to cut hair in certain situations. So the reason why is because we don't cut our hair every day. So if you don't cut your hair every day, you don't have to choose to cut your hair right now. So Rav Shechter says, and I think there's other rabbanim that say this as well, and some of the Sephardi postmen say this too. I don't think they all follow it, but some do. And Rav Shechter and a few other Ashkenazi postmen say it as well. And the same, basically from there you can derive that just like they, based on what they said about haircuts, that it's not every day, but if it was all the time, then you would be able to make a L'Kavod Shabbos. And when it comes to shaving, Bizman Hazeh, where most people do shave relatively frequently, though not everybody. So if you do shave certainly every week with L'Kavod Shabbos, then it might be mutter even during the 9 days to shave on Friday with L'Kavod Shabbos. Okay. Now you got to be careful where you use that. I used to follow that kula, and then I spent the summer that I was living in one of the diras by the Mir, yeshiva, and I attempted to follow that kula, and oh boy, did I get in trouble. I said, leave your kulas where they came from, don't bring them here. So, anyway. So I told Rav Shechter the story. He smiled. He thought it was funny. But he agreed that the minhag ha'makom, if nobody else is shaving on Friday, you shouldn't shave on Friday. But again, places where there are a lot of different minhagim, so if you wanted to make on that, you can. Personally, I just find that it's easier to not have to worry about shaving. So I don't shave during. But again, the other point to keep in mind here is because, again, it's not just about how inconvenient it is. The point here is also we want to show our avelus. And if you just follow the kulas that you shave all the time, so you shave, if you can get away without shaving, maybe there's something to think about that if you want to keep your mindset in the velos and the churban and that something is different, every time that you feel, you go like this and you feel, oh, it's scrubby, oh, I can't, so maybe it's better to dafka not to shave, even if you would be allowed to shave according to some, specifically in order to remind yourself of that. Okay, that's something to keep in mind, regardless of what your halachic psak is. That's an idea you can follow. It comes to a special mitzvah like a bris milah, so they're already post mor mekil. If you're the father of the nimel, or you're the sandik, or the mohel, so there is room to be mekil about shaving during that time. Okay. Any other questions about hair cutting or shaving before we go on? No. Yeah. Though again, what we said about the shaving and the hair cutting is also relevant for the 9 days.
Yeah. I've heard in New York that's
probably true, right? So that's a good point. That there's definitely more room to be machmir during the 9 days, and certainly during Shavuot Shechalbo, but even during the 9 days for Ashkenazim, that it's better to avoid shaving during that time if you can.
The 9 days not important, but the weekend falls in. This was, the very least you have to do.
So again, it depends on who you ask. If you're really gonna, if there's a real potential hefsed mamon of any sort, then it could be that there's room to be makel. But then you shouldn't just do it. It's something you should really consult with beforehand. If you can get by for a week without shaving, that's preferable during the 9 days, or at least Shavuot Shechal Bo. But Lamaisa, the bottom line there also, there isn't to make it if you need it.
Is there a Shavuot Shechal Bo this year?
Okay, so that we didn't guess yet because we are still on 3 weeks right now. But if you would give me a few more minutes to finish 3 weeks, well, that'll be the first thing we'll talk about when it comes to the 9 days. Okay, next, in terms of music, so music is sort of like an extension of weddings. In a certain sense. But in other sense, it's actually not. We'll see in a second what that means. Basically, the custom is not to listen to music during the 3 weeks. Okay? Music includes dancing. Okay? Dancing is not music, but it's the same idea. The Mishnah Berurah says that dancing, rikudim u'cholos, is not allowed during the 3 weeks. Again, as a custom, not as a halakha, but as a custom. This, by the way, before we go any farther, just to make a note here, whoever goes to the Karlbach, I mean, this is actually a real question, which you should pass along as a shaila to look into. Basically, because you're not allowed to, the custom is that you're not supposed to dance during the 3 weeks. So if you go to a karlach on Friday night, then there really should be a question. Maybe dancing should not be okay.
Isn't it already Shabbos and like all those stuff?
You can have wine, you can have meat.
At a certain point during Kabbalah Shabbos, you actually...
Okay, so here's Shabbos, the story. Right? So during the rest of the year, you're absolutely right. The problem is, during the summertime, those that make early Shabbos and have an early minyan for Kabbalah Shabbos, which includes, right now, by the way, Kabbalah minyan, as far as I know, most of the week that it's being done is early. So then you have a real question, because the time that dancing sometimes takes place is often not before your Kabbalah Shabbos. When are you Kabbalah Shabbos? What point usually, if it's early Shabbos? And right, when you say Boi V'Shalom, Boi Chala, Boi Chala. And if not there, then at least when you start Mizmor Shevi Yom HaShabbos. So the thing is that, Kabbalah minyan, often dancing will be before that. It won't be after that. It'll be before. So if it's before, you have a real question, is that okay during the 3 weeks to be dancing in a circle? And sometimes you could just say, oh, you're not really dancing, you're just walking. But sometimes, really, if you really get into it, that's a real question. So personally, if you ask me, I would say that l'chachila is probably better to push off the dancing until after your Mekabel Shabbos. That's assuming that you're makel on dancing on Shabbos itself, which some are and some are not. But if you're makel on dancing on Shabbos, or whatever version of dancing you do, going in a circle, whatever it is. So I would say if that's already an accepted kula that you have, so then it's better to rely on that after Boi Chala, for the last round of dancing, after, L'chadodi, whatever it is, rather than beforehand. That would be my suggestion. Now, I think I mentioned this to Orlean once, like a funny question, just mentioned to him in passing. It's like a cute point that came up, we never thought of it before. I think he was, he thought maybe, because it's already close to Shabbos, it's almost Shabbos, it's after Plaga Mincha, maybe you can find some reason to be Makil.
You can't, so, can't you accept Shabbos earlier, let's say, towards the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos.
So that's another possibility. So there's two ways you could go. Either you could say that, once Plaga Mincha comes around, and usually it's already after Plaga Mincha when this happens, you could say, since you could accept Shabbos now, then it's kilu you did in terms of these halachas of dancing and maybe for kids eating meat during the 9 days, whatever it is. You could argue that, and I think that's what William was saying. I'm not sure that's so passionate. But even if you don't say that, so you're right. Maybe the other option to do is, instead of dancing at the end, is to have everybody have in mind after Plaga Mincha, make sure you get the time right. But after Plaga Mincha, I think these weeks it's around 6:20 or 6:15 or something like that. So to already have in mind to Mekabel Shabbos even before you get to L'chadodi, okay, which is not usually done, but it could be done. There's no reason why you couldn't do it, and we do it the rest of the year. Certainly, when you're in Shul and it's Shabbos starts at 4:30 or 5, you always have to do that. Because of the mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, which we're not going to get into now, but that's another discussion. So that, those are some options, but I just wanted to raise the issue, something to be aware of.
Well,
those of you who go,
yeah. No problem.
Wow. The way one's words get twisted. Don't worry, Bobby's gone. There's a lot of people we have to deal with. It's not so bad. I'll take care of
it. It sounds like right at Plaga Mincha, someone should get up and say,
I think we should do for the next couple of weeks. Shua's back now, so if he's having the minion again, mention the issue to him, as he may not have thought of it either, and just mention the suggestions that I mentioned, and you can choose whichever one is good for you, or you can just ignore my whole thing to begin with and say, I don't care what you say. That's possible also. Okay. That's fine. Again, I'm not saying this is like an absolute the worst thing in the world. It's only a minute. Again, there may be, as we mentioned, maybe a little room to make you, but l'chachila, it seems like you have two options to choose. You can at least choose one without having to worry about it. Okay. Great. So that's that. In terms of music, oh man, we're short on time here. Maybe we'll have another shiur next week on the 9 days. We're not going to get past the 3 weeks tonight. Okay. In terms of the regular music. So music, the generally accepted form that's written in the classical poskim, in the Aruch HaShulchan, Mishnah Berurah, and the earlier poskim that talked about it, the Prima Gadim, is that instrumental music is customarily forbidden during this time. Instrumental music means that you're actually playing a musical instrument.
Live.
Okay? Live. Okay. Why do they talk about that? Because they didn't have recorded music 100 years ago, okay? They didn't have recording devices the way that we do today.
Playing or hearing.
Yeah, either one. Either one. Again, playing, that's what we're talking about, but hearing as well, the same idea. But my point is that they didn't talk about recorded music because it didn't exist, okay? So it's clear from the Achronim that the custom is to be machmir during this time for playing instrumental music and listening to instrumental music. Okay, now by the way, you should be aware that even though often during the 3 weeks we talked about Ashkenazim, on this particular issue, it seems like the Sfaradim are machmir also. Okay, most of the Sfaradi poskim also hold the same way. If you look around, you'll find near Rav Avadia, I don't know if the Kaf HaChaim spoke about it because I think he was a little early maybe, but the Rav Mordechai Eliyahu also in the... Not, maybe even Ashkenazim also. I think Rav Harari's Sefer also, Sefer HaKodesh. Remember with this one, so I think he also mentions Rav Mordechai Eliyahu and a few others. That are machmir. Why the big chumrah about this? And just before we explain a little more, most of the poskim argue that recorded music is also usher. Why? The same idea, the extension of music, of live music, they basically say that recorded music also is something which has the same halachic status. What's the reason why? So again, the same idea of avegos. Okay, music is usually something which creates a certain level of simcha. Okay, and during this time period, we don't want to have so much simcha. And yes, you want to say, yes, mitzvah gedol, mitzvah simcha, tell me whatever it is, but, and it's true, it's emet. But at the same time, we have to remember that there's something missing here. And this is our time of year to focus on what we're lacking, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and what we don't have in the world that we're looking to get. We're looking to get back our ge'ula. So this is another method to say, well, let's hold back a little bit on our recorded music, as well as our live instrumental music, in order to give us that background, that thought. Now, it's even more than that, okay? The reason why all the posts are machmir on this, in addition to what we said, is that there's another problem, this is what you were referring to, that the halachic makoros have a discussion that maybe listening to music or playing music is not much of the rest of the year anyway, okay? Meaning it's not just a question of the 3 weeks, it's even a question of the chol hashana kula, that maybe music is usher. Why is that? Zecher l'chorban. Exactly. It's in the Shulchan Aruch, okay? It's in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara and Rishonim, that it seems there is an issue of listening to music during the whole year because of Zecher l'chorban. It's mentioned in the Makoros. So, Bizman Hazeh, they say, well, our generation can't get by without music. It's just too hard. And we really, really need it, okay? And there's something to that, okay? So music is inspirational, and we have a different generation than they had, you know, 70 years ago. We have different problems than they had. And really, today, we really do need music. So, Lamai said most of the poskim, though not all, most poskim are generally makil for listening to music during the rest of the year. However, the way that it's formulated in Rav Moshe Feinstein and Igros Moshe, and I think Rav Avadia writes the same thing, I forgot if it's in Yechav Das or Yabia Omer, basically, they basically say that even if we're going to be makil the rest of the year on music, at least during this period of time, meaning the 3 weeks, and maybe also Sfiras HaOmer, one should be machmir, Zecher l'Churban. This is exactly the time where we're thinking about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so it makes sense to be machmir. And therefore, Ashkenazim and Sfaradim are generally machmir, both on live music as well as recorded music. Now, there's so many different applications of this that you could talk about, but in general, most of the ones that are common, I would just raise the following point, okay? The custom that we're talking about of not listening to music is mainly an issue when the primary reason why you're listening to the music is because you want to hear the music and you want to get enjoyment out of it. Okay, we're simple. If the music is being used as background or it's part of some other experience, but it's not really the main focal point. So again, it's not great, it's better if you didn't have it, but it's not, you know, it's probably mutter. Okay. The main thing we're talking about here is real simcha music, where you're listening to music because you want to enjoy it, and that's your primary purpose. So if you're at an experience, the women last night mentioned the thing in the park they had the other night on Tuesday night where they had some background music at the beginning, I don't know if anybody was there, but it was supposed to be some sort of show, pantomime show or something like that. And at the beginning, for a few minutes, they had some sort of, you know, little bit of thing as background to the guy that was doing a show. So again, I said, you know, I wish they didn't have it, but it's not really the biggest deal because it's not really the main point of what's going on. As long as it's not the main point of what's going on, then there's probably room to be makil about that. Same thing is true for other cases. They asked about exercise with music. They said that's also, if you need anyone to exercise, maybe that's mutter. I heard from Rabbi Willig from YU, so he wanted to make hill when needed for music in the car, if you feel that it's necessary or helpful in terms of background music, so you can still concentrate while you're driving, in terms of safety. Again, if it's a 15-minute, nachon b'diuk. So if it's a 10-minute drive, I'm not sure if you can use that. But if you're talking about even going to work for 45 minutes or half an hour, whatever it is, and you need the music in order to focus, and certainly for a longer drive, you need that music in order to stay awake or to focus, then Rabbi Willig felt that it's pashut, that it should be mutter. And that's definitely a cooler that you probably can and probably should use if you feel that you need it. Okay, if you don't need it, then you know you don't need to be making it for no reason. But if you need it, then there's definitely what to rely on for that. The other aspect, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with, is that even if you want to be machmir on all these things, today there's so much music out there that technically is probably permissible anyway during the 3 weeks, and that's, of course, what kind of music?
Acapella.
Acapella music, very good. Why is that? Because there's no musical instruments. Okay, so most poskim hold that even if you're machmir on whatever I told you before, acapella music is probably permissible because there's no actual instruments, and there's so much out there today that has that. Okay, a lot of CDs and stuff on the internet you can find that is only vocal, and therefore you shouldn't have a problem finding nice stuff. There are poskim that are more machmir than that. Okay, Rav Belsky's himself, if you're familiar, who just passed away a couple months ago, on poskim at OU. So he was quoted as feeling that that's not okay. He felt that today, the way that even a cappella music is so digitally enhanced, that it sounds almost like as if they had musical instruments, that you sometimes can't even tell the difference. It's so good. So he felt that that's still a problem. Okay. So again, if you ask me, I enjoy music very much, and I actually feel the same way. I enjoy a cappella music just as much as music with instruments. So for myself, again, as a blue nether, but I'm personally machmir for myself not to have even a cappella music. But that doesn't mean that you have to be machmir. That's a personal chumah that I have. If you choose to take that on yourself, you're more than welcome to. But you probably don't have to. Again, most poskim do not hold like Rebelski there. Most poskim say that the custom was only accepted for instruments and not for other things which are just vocal, and therefore you can be makeup. Yeah.
What about your ring on your phone?
What do you think?
I know someone who was off was very and changed it, so it would be a
little okay. I think you could be machmir if you want to. I don't think you need to be machmir because it's the same idea. That the reason why the idea is that you want that somebody's calling. So
can you call
I'm not sure.
Can you call yourself?
Can I call myself right now? You mean?
So you can hear the ringer.
Sure.
No. Like, so you can hear the ringer.
No, but there's something that actually. Has a song.
I thought you wanted me to give an example of what you're talking about.
But there's something that's actually a song that actually. So maybe you should change for
hold on a second. Hold on. Should we test this out here? You tell me.
No.
Why? No. It's a good example. Can you hear my phone ring?
Call
my phone. Yeah, call
my phone. I'll find
out who's. You see, basically, call my phone. That's who just calls. Here, you'll get an idea. You tell me. We're doing this as a. Are you calling or no? Is it calling?
No.
Somebody want to call me? Here. Basically, just you tell me when you hear the ring. Is this ring? Does it make you really excited and like the simcha? Yeah, it's a nice ring. Okay, yeah, it's a nice song.
People are annoying when they're on
the phone. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It's nice, but. But does that really like give you the same simcha? Okay, maybe if it's not it's my phone. I'm looking to see who's calling.
No, but
usually,
if your phone rings, you just have no idea.
Right, exactly. So put it this way: if you want to change it, I hadn't even thought of it, but now that you mentioned, maybe it's a good chumash. I should change my phone ring. But do you need to change? I don't think you need to change. I think it's extra chumrah. I think that's the same thing as the background music. It's not really like the purpose is not to enjoy your song and you don't dafka play the song so you can listen to it. It's I would say that's not such a big deal. Or tell Rabbi to change his music. What?
The Bob camp one time, and a big deal that doesn't say. To be sad, to decrease your happiness.
And that's not even during the 3 weeks, that's only during the 9 days. Yeah,
during the 9 days,
but just rub our eyes, you decrease your happiness. Even that doesn't say to be sad.
Okay,
and
good.
So this taking on rumors about not doing actual music, I mean, whatever, is that what we want? Is that what we want? That, you want to be a chumra day. I mean, that's more of
it. It depends. So again, the problem is like this.
Rav Sinani yesterday, with all due respect to Rav Sinani spoke at Mincha at the Beit Zvi, he gives a lot of this stuff afterwards, and he was very... very much against taking on chumras during the 3 weeks. He said,
"What kind of chumras, though?
Yeah.
What kind of chumras?
Yeah. I don't want to go exactly to what to what he's talking about. What? But he said people that are taking on more and more. We have Yerushalayim. We have this. He was saying it's Rishis and Chakul Akeno. We're going do what the halacha says, and that's it. Don't. That's what he was pushing.
So
what that means, I leave it up to everyone on their own.
Okay. So I think we're doctors. This meaning personally, I think that Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim is the time to look at what the cup is half full. Personally, I think that this time of year is the time to look at the cup as being half empty. Does that mean you have to take on extra chumras? No, I didn't say that. All I'm saying, I think with the a cappella music is just that, and with the music in general, that because the whole point of the chumra of music, which is universally accepted now, okay, this is not something that one person accepted, this is accepted by all the poskim, okay, is because there's a method to the madness. It's not just made up. The idea of the music is that it gives you a certain amount of simcha. So yes, you can be the simcha, but certain, especially enhanced levels of simcha we're not supposed to have. Okay, so if music gives you that especially enhanced simcha, and the general rules that it usually does, even if you're an exception to the rule, it's been accepted as a minhag across the board that we don't do it. So I personally just felt that particular simcha, which is given to a person by hearing, regular music, I get also when I hear a cappella music. So I felt that for me personally, I felt that it's an appropriate chumrah to feel, do the same thing. And that's basically what Rebelsky said also. He said even a little further, but it sounds like instrumental music. Yeah, I don't say you have to do it. But my point is that I think we should look at the reason behind the halacha. And the point is that today, we don't always remember that we're missing something. Okay, yes, we have Yerushalayim, but we're still missing the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the most important thing. And if we sort of forget that we're missing it, maybe we need little reminders to sort of remind us that we're missing it. Unfortunately, we get other reminders, especially in this country. But again, my point is that you don't have to take extra chumras, but at least the things that are mentioned as minhagim that we should follow, you should really follow and not try to get out of them. That's all I was trying to say. So I don't know we're disagreeing necessarily.
And it might be because everybody, when you were explaining why, but the original, as you said, the original halacha was going to concerts, live music,
right,
whatever else,
right,
and this stuff was in the radio, and that's a good reason in the car. You're not enjoying your friends, and there's a whole different atmosphere.
So you're right, and that's concerts, what, you're right. I agree that it's an extension of the original custom. But there's two ways to look at it. So I didn't mention before, if Soloveitchik does have a possibility that maybe he felt that listening to music by yourself, which is recorded, may be okay, exactly for the reason that you said. But again, the bottom line is, if you look at almost all poskim today that talk about it, other than him, maybe a few others, almost all poskim say today that it's universally accepted that that's the custom. Okay. So it's hard to argue with everybody. Okay, you can if you want, but it's hard to argue with everybody. And the reason why they don't want to is this idea. I think they're sensitive today that you don't hear live music all the time. And because the reason behind the minhag is very important, and we want to show that we do have, a certain avilas during this time of the 3 weeks. And what they argue also, based on what we said before, is that during the rest of the year, maybe you also are anyway. So if you want to talk halacha, maybe you shouldn't listen to music the rest of the year either. We're being nice and we're being makel on you the rest of the year that you're allowed to hear music. So at least during this time of year, we feel you should be machmir. Okay, and what they basically said is that if there had been recorded music 300 years ago, or 200 years ago, they felt probably the achronim at the time would have said it was usher also. But it didn't exist then, but it's definitely an illogical extension. So you're right, you can look at it in both directions, but I think in this case, I think that you have to go with what almost all the poskim say, Bizman Hazeh. And because the reason makes sense, and most of the poskim say it, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I don't think you should cut corners. Yeah. Does that mean that you have to be machmir and you can't, if you go to, listen to a video game on your computer or something like that, you have to run out of the room? I didn't say that. Okay, that's not what we're saying. I'm saying listening to music for the purpose of enjoyment or listening to music specifically, one should be machmir. And other kinds of background music you don't have to go crazy about. That's my perspective. Again, feel free to disagree, feel free to follow other opinions, but make sure that you know what you're following if you don't follow what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is the very widely accepted opinion. Okay, great. Last thing, Shachianu. So Shachianu also is only a minhag. Not to say it, but to not say it during the 3 weeks. Basically, what the Shulchan Aruch says is that it's appropriate to avoid saying Shachianu during this time of year. And based on that, so again, same idea, Shachianu gives you a certain amount of simcha, though again, there may be other ways of looking at the Shachianu story. The Mishnah Berurah basically says this in this siman, whatever it's Tavkuf Nun Aleph, so he points that out. That it's not really what I said, it's not really simcha, it's really more the idea that you say the Kiyamanu V'Higyanu L'Azman Hazeh, you're happy to get us to this time, and we're not really so happy to be in this time of year. It's not such a great time. So based on that, the custom is to avoid saying Shachianu. However, it's not so pashut. Some achronim are making the Taz and the Magen Avraham. The Taz and the Vilna Gaon. They say that they've made the whole thing up and it's not necessary, and they say Shachianu is fine. So the halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, and most other achronim say that we should avoid Shachianu. But if it's a situation where you really need to say Shachianu because you have a new fruit and it can't wait, a bris for sure, Mutter. That's for sure okay. Pidyon Ben also is for sure okay. But let's say you get a new suit.
um,
If you have also, you know, kinds of clothing that one would make a shachian on, which again are not too many, but if you have a suit or a very fancy dress, something that you would make a shachian on otherwise, so there's a discussion, is it maybe it's better to wait until after the 3 weeks to put them on? Many people say that on Shabbos it's permissible to say shachianu. So if you want to wait till Shabbos, that's an option. The Arizal is machmir on Shabbos. The Arizal says even on Shabbos you shouldn't make a shachianu. So again, you know, you have different options when it comes to that. And again, if you have a shachianu to make, it doesn't mean don't make it, but it means that if it's possible to avoid it and push it off, so it's preferable to do so. Okay. So yeah.
What about buying something that requires a shachianu?
Such
like,
as
can I buy a suit while it's on sale during
that? That's what we're talking about. Okay. So basically, what we're saying is that if you can wait till afterwards.
No, yeah. We're saying the question is, a lot of you could ask, can we do shopping now for stuff that we're going to wear?
Shopping is fine during the 3 weeks, not the 9 days. Which the 3 weeks shopping is fine.
In other words, you can shop that next year.
I found a good deal on something. I want to buy it now.
3 weeks is fine. The only question is things that you would make a shachianu on. So again, they're not very many.
That's what I'm asking.
So if you're talking,
can I buy it? What they're thinking, can you buy
right.
the suit now, but not
right. Okay. So here's a story. So the story is that again, if you can avoid buying it during the 3 weeks because there's a shiloh of how to do it, it's probably better. However, if you can't, okay, I almost have this example because we have, my brother's getting married, got willing a couple days after, a week after Tisha B'Av in America. So we're flying the day after Tisha B'Av, or the night after Tisha B'Av. There's no way I'm buying I need to get a new suit because my suit's, whatever. You know, they're for Israel, they're okay, but for Chutzlar, they're not. So, anyway, so I had to get a new suit. So I knew that wasn't happening after Tisha B'Av. So the question was, you know, last week I already realized this is going to be a question, should I buy it during the 3 weeks, or should I make myself force myself to go last week and get the suit? So basically what I did is I made a point of going last week. It wasn't so easy to fit into the schedule, but I went. I went to the store and I just thought, okay, is this good? Yeah, it's good. Let's get it. You know, I didn't waste my time. Basically, I wanted to avoid the whole problem, so I bought it last week. Now, hold on. Let me finish. I'm not done yet. Did I have to do that or could I have bought it this time? So what I'm saying basically is that it's preferable. Most of the posts say it's better to avoid it and buy before or after if you can. However, if you can't because let's say I wasn't able to get it last week for whatever reason, and I need to get the suit. So in that case, probably it's permissible to get during the 3 weeks. The same is true if you have a case where a suit is on sale, and the sale's not going to last, or you're not going to be at that store, it's nowhere near where you live, and you can't go there afterwards for whatever reason. So in those cases, most people say that it's permissible to buy the suit during the 3 weeks. And then the question becomes, what do you do about the shachianu? So here, this is a bit of a question. It partially depends on when you would say shachianu the rest of the year. What are the two options? What
the
they
first
are?
Time you wear it, I mean,
as soon as you buy it.
Exactly. So those are the two options. It's a machlokas, which one it is. Do you make a shachianu when you buy the suit, when you pay for it? Or do you make a shachianu when you wear it, or when they do the alterings, if you have to hem it or do whatever else? So basically, it's a machlokas to begin with. If you don't do any alterations, so then it's a machlokas. It seems that most poskim actually hold you're supposed to make a shachianu when you buy it. However, there are some poskim that say, I think it's Maror Mordechai, a few others, that do mention the possibility that maybe you can make a shachianu when you wear it for the first time. So if you're talking about during the 3 weeks anyway, so maybe there's room to say that you could buy during the 3 weeks and then wait to wear it until after Shabbat and then make a shachianu when you wear it to follow the second shita. That's one possibility. The other option is what I said before, if there's alterations, if you have to hem it or you know fit it or whatever it is, so that already the Mishnah Berurah and most of the Achronim agree that in that case you definitely do not make a shachianu when you buy it. Why? Because whatever simcha is there didn't exist yet because it doesn't fit you yet. Okay, if you wouldn't wear it until they hem the pants or change the whatever it is, change the jacket, so then you don't make a shachianu. Then you definitely would make a shachianu only after you wear it for real the first time. So if that's the situation, then either way you're okay if you wait to wear it till after the Shabbat. That's actually what I did. I could have worn it last week, but I didn't want to have to go and wear it and then get it dirty and have to dry clean it. But okay, I'll just wait to put it on until after the Shabbat, and then I can make a shachianu for the first time when I wear it.
And if it's not something that rises to the level of something, you can definitely go buy it.
Yeah, for sure. During the 3 weeks is for sure mutter. Yeah. During the 9 days is more of a question. What you can buy, what you can't buy. We'll have to save that for.
So for women's like fancy dresses, whatever, it's probably more of an issue because they usually don't need to be altered.
Yeah, correct. And they're fancy, so they would make a shachianu. Again, shachianu is very individual, very subjective.
The general minhag is to say it right away, right when you buy it?
I don't know what the minhag is, but that's what most people say.
Yeah.
It could be more people have the minhag of buying it, saying it. I think either way is okay. But from what I looked at, of course, when I looked at them, it seemed like the most poskim say that you really should do it when you buy it. what people actually do. You have to ask on the street. But again, it's not so common to see shechem on clothing anymore.
They feel the joy. I don't think they feel the joy over
so, something
they really wear. It's
so,
fun to buy stuff.
Well,
the first time they're wearing that in public, it's something.
I hear. Okay, so I hear that. It could be. So it could be.
It's always been altered.
Okay.
Never heard the other option.
Yeah,
but again, if it's always altered, then it's for sure fine. I understand. Again, if you alter it, then for sure that's
right. What's that? I've always had to have pants.
That's what I'm saying. If it's always altered, then it's for sure when you wear it. I'm saying if it's not altered, so then already, you know, I also thought that it's always when you wear it, but then I looked around and it seemed like it was pretty poshut. That the majority, the accepted opinion of the postgame is the other way, and then they say yeshe. Nagu to do. So it's not bad to do it when you wear it for the first time, but you know it seems that I guess. Okay, so that's the story with that. Okay, I guess 10:15. So maybe we'll stop here, just to conclude with just the different hashkafa. We mentioned before again that you know that the part of the idea of this time of year is that we're looking to remind ourselves that that not everything is the way that it should be. Even though Baruch Hashem life is good, even though yes, unfortunately there are bad things that happen, but overall day to day. Life is challenging, but in general, you know, we have good lives. We have, you know, we have most of us with all our problems and with all our concerns. But in general, you know, most things are pretty normal, and we enjoy our lives. But yet, you know, in the Gemara it says that in one line of the Gemara Brachos where it says that since the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, there has never been a day where there was a perfectly blue, clear blue sky. And they quote a pasuk from Yeshaya, Perek Nun. I don't know if you got to that one yet.
No.
Okay. Say, what's going on here? When I looked outside today, the sky looked quite blue to me, and it was pretty sunny out there. So what are they talking about? And the answer is that Chazal saw something that we can't see. I mean, we should be able to see it, but they looked at the sky, and they felt it in the air. Something was missing. This is not right. This is not the right existence. Now, it's hard for us, because it's been 2,000 years, and we never saw the Beis Hamikdash. But, okay, when you think about the idea that we're supposed to be feeling, as we said before, this feeling of tsar and this feeling of, you know, of avelus, we have to remind ourselves, what are we missing because the Beis Hamikdash is not here? And the answer is, again, there are a lot of ideas here, but one of the main ideas that we're missing is the disclosure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory and presence in the world. Okay, the Kavod Hashem Hitgalut of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, does in this world is not there now. And that's why, unfortunately, we still have all these terrible things that happen in the world, including here in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, even more so than many other places, though. Now, these days, it can happen anywhere. But the point is, that's all because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. At that time, they knew, the Jewish people knew exactly what they had to do. They had people telling them. They may not have listened, but they knew, do this, don't do that. They saw remnant, you know, hints to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the Beis Hamikdash. And, you know, you knew exactly what was happening and what to do. And, you know, these pure feelings of pain and suffering and all these terrible tragedies that happen, it's all because of the fact that we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a period of Hester Panim right now. Yes, you look hard, you can find him. That's a period of Hester Panim. And we have to remind ourselves at least once a year during this time period that not everything is the way that it's supposed to be. And Baruch Hashem, we live in good places. And in Chutz Laaretz, it's even more of an issue because they're, you know, they don't have what we have here in Eretz Yisrael, at least. So you begin to think, well, you know, if you think about, oh yeah, we want Mashiach now. We all say we want Mashiach. But when you think about it a little more, do you really want Mashiach? Does everybody in Chutz Laaretz really want to get up and move? We're already here, at least. So, you know, even for us, you know, who knows what's going to happen when the Beis Hamikdash comes? We're going to have to go to do Aliyah LeRegel, you know, and bring millions and millions of people going. And korbanos, like, what do you want to sacrifice those animals? Do you really want, you know, this, you know, the time where, you know, if you don't like going to places with large crowds, if you never didn't want to be in the kotel at Birkas Kohanim, what do you think you're going to have to do for Aliyah LeRegel? So you start thinking, well, maybe, you know, yeah, we want it, but do we really want it? Maybe, I don't know. And this is the time of year where we have to take a, you know, a long, hard, you know, look at ourselves and think about how do we improve on our desire for, you know, wanting the Beis Hamikdash and wanting the Geula to really come. And again, we can do it. And we look around, we can feel it. We can feel it, especially here in this country. But this is the time that we need to do it, okay? I saw a number of Rabbanim point out, Revda, who lived in Brooklyn, I think, was one of the Rabbanim that pointed this out, that the more gashmius we have, the less spiritually sensitive we are. And that's why he says that in Europe, everybody knew when the 9 days began, because all the Jews started walking around crying and, you know, sitting on the floor and with their clothes. It was natural for them. It was obvious because the type of existence they had was such that it was so obvious to them that they were in Golis that it was just natural to cry out and say during the 9 days, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu, where are you? We want, you know, for us, like, okay, well, how do we do it? Yes, we want to be a simcha. Yeah, we don't want to get, you know, but at the same time, it's hard for us to find a way to feel the avilus. That's why I think, you know, you have to go out of your way to try to, you know, find a way to feel the avilus and the mourning. And this is the time of year to be able to do it. So Bezer Hashem, we should take the halachas and, you know, yes, you know, maybe you don't have to be overly machmir, but at the same time, you should try to use the halachas as a method to get yourself into the spirit of what we're supposed to be feeling during this time and get to the point that we can really cry, either physically or at least spiritually, you know, figuratively to cry and to mourn for what we're missing. And Bezer Hashem, you know, we say in the Gemara, call Zocha, call Sabal Yerushalayim, anybody who mourns for Yerushalayim should be Zocha to see the simcha of the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, or at the very least, to see a little bit of the nechama. What we have right now is a little bit, but not the main nechama. We should get to the main nechama of the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. But in order to do that, we have to make sure that we know how to properly mourn first. So, Bezer Hashem, we should get both parts, the mourning and the geula. And here we go. Okay.